Today. 2 hours of news, current affairs, and opinion. With in-depth panel discussions on domestic and global issues. Today brings you the story behind the headlines. Locally produced, but with a distinctly international flavor. Today.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has announced APEC's endorsement of a roadmap for the creation of a free trade area for the Asia-Pacific. The president made the announcement upon the conclusion of the APEC leaders' meeting. Qi Zhi has a story.
President Xi Jinping is hailing the APEC members' endorsement of a roadmap for promoting the FTA Asia-Pacific process as an historic decision.
The move is a historic step we took in the direction towards realizing the FTA Asia-Pacific. It also demonstrates the confidence and determination of the APEC in advancing regional economic integration, and it is a decision that will be written into history books.
Xi Jinping says the creation of an APEC FTA will bring regional integration to a new and higher level.
We have reached consensus that regional economic integration is the driving force behind sustained strong growth in Asia-Pacific. And APEC should continue to play a leading and coordinating role in pushing forward this process.
In concluding their annual meeting, APEC leaders have adopted a blueprint for improved connectivity in the Asia-Pacific. They've set targets to enhance physical, institutional, and people-to-people connectivity by 2025.
We need to accelerate the improvement of infrastructure construction and build an interconnection pattern of all directions. Interconnection means the roads under our feet, the expressways, the railways, the airlines, and other networks. Where the roads go, that's where our cooperation lies.
APEC leaders have also endorsed the establishment of a cross-border law enforcement network to strengthen transnational anti-corruption cooperation. In addition, Chinese President Xi Jinping has announced a Chinese donation of $10 million to support APEC. China is also going to help train 1,500 people to help develop the organization. This year's meeting has also seen the release of a statement to mark the 25th anniversary of APEC's founding. The first commemorative announcement in APEC history.
That was Qi Zhi with the report.
And for more on this, we are now joined by Helga Zepp-LaRouche, founder of the Schiller Institute in Washington. Helga, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, hello.
So in his speech, President Xi said that the FTAP could help solve some of the current problems and challenges in regional economic growth. Do you agree?
Oh, yes. I think it's very beneficial for Asia and the Pacific region. But I would emphasize that the benefit is not just regional, because what occurred just now is an inspiration for the rest of the world, especially given the fact that Europe and the United States have much, much more severe economic problems than they officially acknowledge. And, you know, in a world crisis like the one we have right now, it is extremely important to be not partisan, but, you know, to take always the approach President Xi Jinping is taking when he says that solutions to the world's problems have to be inclusive. That has been the approach with the new Silk Road and with the maritime Silk Road. And in that sense, I think the APEC accomplishments really could be a model for how to solve problems in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Well, APEC leaders have agreed at the end of the meeting that a feasibility study would last 2 years till the end of 2016. So could you walk us through the process and, you know, what is the study about, the coordination or, you know, what kind of a feasibility here?
Well, to tell you what I think 2 years is a very long time. And I don't think the world will wait 2 years mm-hmm. until such a feasibility study is ready. Therefore, I think it would be very advisable to prepare to act much quicker because, you see, the too-big-to-fail banks of the Atlantic region could crash any moment. And therefore, it is important to have something in place immediately for that eventuality. Obviously, the trade relations among the APEC countries, that takes much longer to work out. But I think the other instruments, China has been promoting the AIIB, the projects of the New Silk Road and the Maritime Silk Road. These things should start right away. I think momentum is very important, and then the details of trade relations can be worked out as you go along.
And so why do you think the feasibility study is going to last for 2 years? Perhaps this was a compromise between the U.S. and China, who have kind of competing free trade agreements going on right now?
Yeah, but I think this APEC summit really showed that the FTAAP has definitely gained momentum, because, you know, I mean, it's generally recognized that most of the countries of Asia Pacific region come on board, and you know, I think that the competition is still there, but I think even President Obama was obliged to say that the TPP is a step in the direction towards the FTAAP. So I think the Chinese model definitely has won the momentum.
Mm-hmm. So even before the leaders' meeting, the U.S. already ruled out any breakthroughs on the TPP, as we've been talking about a little bit here. And now the FTAP has been gaining momentum. So do you think that the FTAP, as some have said, has actually diverted attention away from the TPP?
Yes, because, and it's also very clear why. Because, you know, the former National Security Advisor of Obama, Tom Donilon, said if the TPP would be agreed upon, it would mean that the United States will write the rules for the world economy for 100 years to come. Now, that is not something most countries would desire to be a part of. And even the American Peterson Institute, which is generally known not to be very friendly to China, they made a comparison, and they said that the FTAAP will bring benefits for every participant, while the TPP, you know, would massively reduce trade for China. So I think the fact that the FTAAP is definitely the more attractive model is really a big success.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, perhaps surprisingly, we see the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also made a public statement in support of the FTAP process. So do you see this as a positive development, positive sign for the eventual agreement, or, you know, is this indicative of warning ties between Japan and China here?
Well, obviously, the fact that this discussion did take place is an important breakthrough, but I think we have to see how it develops, because this was just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It is obviously important that China and Japan work together, because the alternative is not acceptable. But now we have to see in practice if Japan sticks to, you know, its present constitution and stops the tendency towards remilitarization. If that would be the case, it's good. But I think even, you know, obviously I wasn't there, but can only judge this from the pictures, the meeting seems to have not been that warm, so there are ways to go.
Mm-hmm. That's between China and Japan. But again, you know, for Japan, you know, with this, like a start of the feasibility study of FTAP, does that somehow give Japan a bargaining power against the U.S. in their negotiation about TPP?
Well, I think realistically, you know, if Japan would act in its own interest, it would work much more closely with China and the other Asian nations, because Japan is just an island. They don't have many raw materials, and therefore their living standard depends on high technology increases, and, you know, that they can only benefit from cooperation with China. And also they need a market, and they need investment areas and so forth. So I think for Japan, the self-interest lies in cooperation with Asia.
Mm-hmm. And so before this year's meeting of the APEC leaders, there was talk about how APEC perhaps was sliding into a bit of irrelevancy. But now with China putting so much emphasis on this year's and with the FTAP and with other announcements and agreements that have been made on the sidelines, I mean, do you think that under Xi Jinping we're beginning to see the emergence of a more energetic and confident global player in China?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think China has really taken a leadership role already in the world. And if you look at the different policies which have come forward with Xi Jinping, I mentioned already the new Silk Road, which is fantastic, the Maritime Silk Road, the AIIB. Then you have now the Silk Road Development Fund of $40 billion. Now you have the FTAAP. But the most important is really the Chinese lunar program, which is a revolution in itself. That Chinese lunar program, you know, the U-2 and the Chang'e 3, Chang'e 4, Chang'e 5 programs, that has already changed the character of mankind's existence because it is aimed to eventually mine helium-3 on the moon for a fusion economy on Earth. And that program alone is creating a new force in the universe, and it also represents the keystone for the Chinese economy because it's a science driver. You know, it's right now the Chinese space program is the greatest impulse to improve the power of mankind on the planet and beyond in the universe. Mm. So I think what China is doing right now is really giving a great reason for optimism that other parts of the world, which are in a more troubled condition, can eventually be pulled out.
Okay. All right. Well, Helga, thank you so much for joining us. That was Helga Zepp-LaRouche, founder of the Schiller Institute in Washington.
You are listening to newsplusradio.cn.
To get the latest news about China, listen to our entertaining programs, and find out more about Chinese culture, check out our official website.
Our website address is newsplusradio.cn.
CRI, your bridge to China and the world.